Today's the beginning of Advent. Advent is one of my favorite times of the
year. I didn't say Christmas. I said Advent. Two different things. Advent is one of those times that I enjoy because of the surprise of a lot of different things. I want you to listen to this scripture that comes from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The surprises of the season. The surprises of things happening. The surprises of hearing from friends and relatives. Surprises are exciting things, aren't they? I know some of you would tell me, no, I don't like to be surprised at all. But sometimes it's the surprises that bring the most pleasing and memorable moments. You see, this passage speaks about the return of Christ at the end of time. It speaks about the return of Christ at the end of time. And you may be asking the question, why is this an Advent reading? Since we're preparing our hearts and we're getting ready for the coming of the Christ child again, why does this come up as an Advent reading for surprises? Well, I want to deal first with what the passage has to say, because the passage does say that Christ will come and it will be a surprise. It will be a surprise for all people when it happens. Even Jesus does not know the timing. Jesus speaks to the apostles many different times and the other disciples and tells them it's not theirs to worry about. That's not theirs to be concerned about. Jesus even says that he has no idea when the second coming will happen. Only the Father knows. Many times the disciples will ask him about this. Again and again they will ask and they will wonder, when is this going to happen? Will you tell us now? Will you speak to us about this? And I want to read a passage to you, a few verses from the first chapter of Acts. Starting in verse 4. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and they asked Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Pay attention to what Jesus says. He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth. Jesus gives this similar answer almost every time the disciples ask him, when is this going to happen? He basically says, it's none of your business. That's not what I want you to be centering on. That's not what I want you to be worrying about, because even I don't know when that's going to happen. And he turns them away from that question always to, I need you to be my witnesses now and tell about me and tell about salvation. I want you to be my witnesses, and he says it in a very particular way. He says, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, if you don't know your geography of Israel, let me give this to you. Jerusalem is the city they're currently in. He says, I want you to be a witness here in this city in which you currently live. And I want you to be a witness in the state, in the country, which Jerusalem is in. And then I also want you to be a witness in the next country up, Samaria. And then he says, I want you to be my witness to the ends of the earth, wherever you go. I want you to be telling people about me, not about the end times, not about when that's going to happen, because Jesus says, I don't know when it's going to happen. It's not for me to know. It's only for the Father to know. And we have plenty of people out there right now currently trying to explain to us when the end time is going to be. And Jesus says, it's none of your business. That's not for you to worry about. What I want you to do is come to me and have a relationship with me and come to know salvation. And I want you to tell other people that they too can have salvation. That's what I want you to center on. And almost on every occasion that the disciples ask, one other time they're looking, they're up on the Mount of Olives and they're looking over Jerusalem. And as they're looking over Jerusalem, Jesus tells them that all these buildings that they see are going to be destroyed one day. Speaking about 70 AD when the Romans come in and destroy the city. He says they're all going to be destroyed. He doesn't tell them when. He just tells them it's going to happen. And they ask, when will this happen? And once again, he turns them back to, I need you to be my witnesses. I need you to tell other people the story about Jesus. Now, for many years, I've studied about the end times and looked at the end times. And one commentary that I read helped me to understand something that I fully and completely believe. Because there's all kinds of theories out there. There's all kinds of different understandings about how the end times will happen and when this will happen and when that will happen and when this, and some of those big theological words or amillennial, millennial, premillennial, postmillennial. There's all kinds of different theories and understandings. And I was reading this commentary in preparation for teaching the book of Revelation, and this guy said that he was a pan-millennialist. And I said, wait a minute. I have studied this in detail, and we studied it in seminary, and they took us through all the different understandings of it, and they showed us all the scriptural passages, support every other, and I've never heard pan-millennialism. And then I started reading it a little bit further, and the guy basically said this, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I don't need to figure it out because it will all pan out in the end. And that's what's going to happen with that. It's all going to pan out in the end. It doesn't matter how you figure it out or how somebody else figures it out. It's going to happen God's way. And one thing I am positive about in reading our passage for today, one thing that I am very positive about is it's going to be a surprise. How can it be a surprise if somebody's got it figured out? Because once you figure something out, it can't be a surprise anymore, can it? If you know the exact date, the exact time, you know exactly how it's going to happen, this passage says it's going to be a surprise. That's what it says. Now, let me turn the page a little bit. Because you still may be asking, why am I preaching about the end of times on the first day of Advent? There's a connection. You see, Advent is a time that we prepare our hearts again for the coming of the Christ child. We prepare our hearts and we get ready and we look toward that time of celebrating again the coming of the Christ child, the coming of God into this world as a human, the coming of God into this world as a baby that needs our help. Now, if you just stick with that thought for a minute, God did not choose to come into this world as an adult. God came as a baby that needed our help. Somebody had to feed. Somebody changed diapers. Somebody took care of them. Think about that. Isn't that surprising? God came that way, not as an adult that was already able to take care of himself and do everything that needed to be done. Isn't Advent about surprise also? And for too many people, we rush to Christmas. We rush to get there. Christmas doesn't happen until the 25th. And it happens for 12 days. Maybe you sung that song, huh? The 12 days of Christmas? That's what's celebrated within the Christian church. It starts on the 25th, and Christmas doesn't last just one day. It actually lasts 12 days. Because the surprise of what happens is so big that we need 12 days to process it. That's why there's 12 days of Christmas. And so for some of us, we make it one day, don't we? And then the next day is, oh, we got to get on and do things. The surprise of what happens. And you see, the first coming of the Christ child was surprising for most people. It happened while life continued on. Life did not stop on the day when Christ was born and pause everywhere for that moment, as we tend to do as we celebrate Christmas. We pause everything else in our life, and that day is about getting together with family. Maybe it's about going to church. Maybe it's about spending some time thinking about the Christ. And then we move on. Then we move on. The first coming of the Christ child was a surprise. Herod had no idea years later when the wise men came. Years later, not to the manger. The wise men did not come to the manger. Read the story carefully. The wise men came to visit the child Jesus in a home, it says, not in a manger. So tomorrow I'll set out my nativity scene that I've had since I was probably about four. And tomorrow when I set out my nativity scene, there will be no Jesus in the manger. It's not Christmas yet. It's a preparation time. It's a time for being surprised again that God would come into this world as a baby. And waiting for that surprise. And just in case some of you are wondering, on Christmas, I'll put the baby Jesus in the manger. Right after Christmas Eve service here, I'll put the baby Jesus in the manger. But the wise men won't be there, because they don't come till later. It's not until the 6th of January that the wise men will appear at my manger scene. The day of Epiphany. The day when we celebrate as a church that the wise men came, meaning that salvation is open for all people, not just one nation, not just one race, not one set of people, all people. So if you come visit me in my office starting tomorrow, you'll see what you'll think. Wow, he didn't put everything out in the manger scene. And it will stay there till January the 6th in the window, that I can put the wise men there. Because it's all a surprise. It all happens. Life continues on. What does it say for the second coming in this passage? Life will be continuing on when it happens. Just as life was continuing on when Noah went into the ark. That's another passage for you to think about sometime. Until Noah built the ark and went in the ark, it had never rained. Never, the Bible says. Go and read carefully. And it started raining, and Noah went in the ark. By the way, it's not just animals two by two. I'll let you go look that one up. There's more than pairs of animals that go into the ark. Somebody's jumping already. Tucker's over here jumping because he knows the answer. But until Noah went in, then it started raining. I wonder what people thought then. Because it says life continued on until that happened. The second coming, life continues on. The coming of the Christ child, life continues on. For many people at that time, it wasn't any extraordinary day. It was a day just like any other day. They were continuing on with life. What I want to encourage you to do this Advent season, the next 4 weeks, we should be looking for the new and surprising ways that Christ is seeking to enter our lives. We should be looking for the new and surprising ways that Christ is wanting to enter our lives right now. Because one of the dangers of having a future focus or a past focus is you never pay attention to what's happening right in front of you. And you miss most of it. You miss most of it. My roommate, one of my roommates, my senior year of college, could walk from our apartment to the Virginia Tech campus and never see anything. Which me and my other roommate thought was absolutely amazing. Now, I will admit that Lee was a chemistry major, and he was trying to memorize organic chemistry things. And from what I understand, if you don't make it in organic chemistry, you will never make it in your field, because that is incredibly hard. He showed us some of the stuff, and I'm like, I don't even want to see that. I can't memorize all of that stuff. But he could walk to campus almost a mile and never see a bird. Because we would ask him, Lee, how many birds did you see today on the way to campus? Always the answer was zero. And we're like, really? Scoobs and I, we saw this many. He said, well, there wasn't any when I walked. And it's not that there weren't any. It's just that he was so focused on one thing that he couldn't see what was happening around him. He couldn't see the surprises that God was bringing him every moment of the day. When you focus on the past and live in the past and wish that things were just like the good old days. By the way, think about this for a minute. How many people have you ever heard talk about the bad old days? Because there was always some bad things that happened, weren't there? But the only thing people choose to remember is the good things that happened. When you're focused that way, or you're focused on the future so much that this is going to happen, this is going to go on, and I know it's going to happen right around the corner, you can miss what's happening right in front of you. And I want to ask you to really think about, what's the new and surprising ways that Christ is seeking to enter our lives? What are they? Are you noticing them when they happen? You ever get that feeling that God just hits you on the forehead with a 4x4? And man, I finally get it. I don't think God hits anybody with a 4x4. Or a baseball bat, or a hockey stick, any of that stuff. I think God's been trying to tell you the whole time, and you finally just got it. God's been speaking to you and bringing Christ to you in surprising ways over and over and over again, and you haven't been paying attention. Use Advent for what Advent is. A time of preparation, a time of getting ready, of seeing where Christ is right now and what Christ is talking to you about. So I want to ask you, are you seeing the moments where Christ is seeking to come deeper into your life? Are you seeing the moments where Christ is seeking to come deeper into your life? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you recognizing how much better we need to be able to see. Realizing that sometimes it's difficult because we get so caught up in so many things. So, Lord, help us to pause. Help us to see. Help us not to jump so fast forward to Christmas Day or to your second coming. Help us to live this moment, this day, that we may see and understand and know that you are coming into our lives in surprising ways, even right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.